All right, good afternoon. It's nice to see all of you. I came across the book Authority by Jonathan Lehman, and we have it in the Resource Center. We've never had it before, but we have it now. And the idea was talking about good authority. He never addresses the counseling room, but he does talk about what it means to exercise good authority. And I began to think, this actually might be helpful for all of you. Because as I reflected back on different counseling scenarios, whether I realized it at the time, there were authority questions that were being raised and discussed. Whether I thought about it in that lens or not, it was still happening. And I could look back now and say, boy, I wish I would have had that conversation just more openly, as opposed to what we did. So his book emphasizes the kinds of authority that God provides people. So a pastor, for example, has authority within certain limits and jurisdictions because God grants authority to the office. And the people that hold that office then are to exercise that authority in a God-honoring way. And once the person is no longer in that office, then they vacate the authority too. A husband has some authority because God has declared them to be the leaders of their home, but also because the woman has chosen to marry him. I mean, all men aren't in authority over all women. And many of us who have worked in different environments or do work environments have had ladies as bosses. And so we don't always have authority like over everybody. We have authority within certain limits and jurisdictions. And one of the reasons that husbands have authority over wives is because God has given it. And the other reason is because the wife has chosen to marry him. And if she didn't like the way that he would ultimately lead and exercise authority, then she had to decide, that's not the man that I want to marry. A counselor has authority in the counseling room also within limits and jurisdiction, because the church has authorized that person to serve in this particular ministry role. And then the counselee has agreed to give him or her the opportunity to counsel them. But we can already see how there's different lines in all of these relationships. And so part of the value for me was to say, how is it that I have seen authority play out in the counseling room? And hopefully that, to some degree, is helpful for you too. Sometimes counselees challenge our authority. Have you ever had somebody do that? I mean, sometimes, like, directly. I was once counseling a husband and his wife, and they were not doing well. Part of it is they had experienced some really deep loss. I mean, there was pain in their story, and I don't think I even got all of it. I got part of the pain, but I didn't understand all of it because they weren't ready to talk about it and willing. And there was a side of them that struggle to even grieve the losses that they had experienced. But out of that, those losses and their unwillingness to grieve over them, they actually ended up creating a lot of hurt between the two of them. It created a lot of challenge within their marital environment. And so as I was trying to help, I noticed that he was really difficult to counsel. He tended to be self-righteous. He tended to have a victim mentality to his life. And he didn't like other people telling him what to do. And one day that came to a head where he just looked at me straight up and said, "Who in the world do you think you are to boss me around?" And I was thinking, I don't remember bossing you around. But I responded by saying that part of the issue here is that you're coming to see me. Like, this is my location. This is where the church authorizes me to serve. And you are free to go at any point, but as long as you are deciding to come here, you are submitting to this process. Doesn't mean you have to like everything I have to say, but if you're asking the question, then it has to do with your involvement here and the church's giving of this space for my opportunity. All of that is limited. I'm not speaking for God, trying to show him what God's word has to say, and then he needs to respond to that. And it's revocable. They could leave at any time. But it was clear he was not used to having people tell him what to do, and so he didn't like it very much. There was, of course, no obligation. He had to listen to me. But then he had to decide what he was going to do about it. I could make recommendations. They were not authoritative in and of themselves. I was limited in the amount of, we'll just say, consequence that I could provide if he chose not to do it. But at the end of the day, he had to decide whether he was going to be willing to submit to the process. Now, as it turned out, we found space to get along really well. And then he did a rather surprising thing. He joined the military. And I thought, what an odd way to move forward. You know, to then have lots and lots of people telling you what to do. But he and his wife have found space for all of that and are raising kids now. And he even decided to, like, sometime after our counseling, just stop by the church to give me a gift. Like, so we got to a good place. But there was this moment of, where is this authority coming from? And if I had to do it again, I would have articulated it better than what I did in the moment. But it highlights just this question of what authority do we have in the counseling room and how it is delegated, how it is limited, how it is revocable. It was also interesting to me that there are some counselees who actually want you to exercise authority. I think most of the time that has to do with assuming they like it. There's an implicit condition in that. But we had, not all that long ago, somebody write intake forms, and he and his wife had been separated for over a year. And despite her accusing him of abuse and controlling behavior, which is why she left the home, she would permit week-long visits with her, with the children. When they were together, she wanted to have sex with him. And so he found the whole thing confusing, and he wasn't sure what to do. Like, had he changed? Had he not changed? So here's what he wanted. I want somebody in charge other than her. And he was like, if I haven't changed, tell me what I need to do to prove that I changed. If I have changed, you need to tell her that I have changed, and it's time to end this game. And I want a plan that puts us back together. Well, you know, that sounds all good, but we don't have the authority to do basically anything that he just said. And so we had to explain that to him. And the reality is he wanted all of that, and his wife hadn't even agreed to counsel. So sometimes you have counselees who want to challenge any notion of authority. Sometimes you have counselees who want to give you too much. And then sometimes we are required at least to exercise some level of authority. And what I mean by this is that if we are counseling somebody in our church and we are one of the leaders, then we have authority as a church leader. Now, that doesn't mean that